The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, if you are getting older, you are understanding more and more every day that life is hard. Okay? And the older you get, the more you understand that. The older I get, the more I am understanding that. Sometimes you may think as a young person, I wish I was an adult and I had a life and I had a car and I had a house and I had the wife and I had the husband. But the older that you get, the harder things get. Okay? And fortunately, God gives us grace for it. But life is hard, and the older I get, the more I understand that. Now, there's times in our lives when things happen, but in all reality, it's our own fault. The title to the sermon tonight is What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And so there's things in our lives sometimes that happen, and it's really our own fault. I'll tell you a quick story. My wife and I went on an anniversary trip to Eureka Springs, I don't know how long ago. It's been several years ago. And, you know, I didn't have a cell phone like I have now. I didn't have the smartphone. I just had one of those flip phones, you know, and it just had, all you could do with it is call people. Imagine that, okay? Yeah, it was a dumb phone. And so we went on this trip, and I got everything prepared, and I went to MapQuest.com. Anybody ever use that anymore? I don't know. I went to MapQuest.com, and I planned out our route, you know, how to get there from where we live to Eureka Springs and exactly to the hotel that we were staying at, so there would be no, you know, getting lost or anything like that. And then I turned around, and I did it from the hotel back to our house so that when everything was said and done, that I could just take that map and just shoot straight back home, and there'll be no problems. Well, we had a great week. We got there. We had a great week. And did some things there in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. And then it got time to come home, so I pulled out a couple sheets of paper and was ready to follow my directions back home. And so I didn't really pay that close attention to them. And so I got on the road, and we drove 30 minutes, and I kind of thinking, this doesn't look familiar. I mean, we're going to go back the same way we came. But, maybe I just forgot, you know. But I wasn't paying attention to my direction. And then about another 30 minutes more went by, and, you know, you're starting to think, you know, something's wrong. But I'm not going to admit it to my wife. Because I'm the man. I am the man. And we're on our anniversary trip, you know, and I don't want her to think badly of me. So about an hour and a half into our trip, I decided to tell my wife, I think we are going the wrong way. And she said, well, let's just pull into a gas station and ask for directions. I'm not going to pull into a gas station and ask for directions. You know, no real man does that. So we drove a little bit more, and finally I said, okay, we'll stop at a gas station and ask directions if you go in and ask. And so she said, okay, that's fine with me. So found out that we had, instead of turning left out of the parking lot of the motel, we had turned right. And we went an hour and a half to the right when we should have been an hour and a half to the left. And so what to do when you don't know what to do? Read the map. situation like that was my fault. That was my fault. You know, I'm not talking about, okay, your motor explodes and blows up because you didn't put oil in it, you know. Well, that's a duh, okay. That was your fault, all right. Or say that, you know, you were late to work because you stayed up really, really late watching this movie or whatever you're doing, you know, watching the Cowboys lose or something like that. And then you got up late, so you were late to work. Well, that was your fault. That wasn't anything that was just something that happened. And so I'm not talking about things like that tonight, what to do when you don't know what to do. I'm not talking about those types of things. If you're in a financial distress because you're unwise with your own spending, well, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. That was on you, okay? So I'm not talking about those things. But we've all or will have had those experiences in our lives when things happen, and we just feel like we don't know what to do, and there's nothing that we had anything to do with, all right? You know what I'm talking about. When you're making changes in your life, maybe you're a new convert, you're new to living for the Lord, and you're making all these changes in your life to try to do right and to try to live for God and make some things right with others and so forth, and things are going the right way, they're clicking along just fine, and you're thinking, God's blessing, this is great, and then boom, something happens that you had no control over. And you're like, what's up with that? What to do when you don't know what to do? Or when you've devoted your life to pleasing the Lord and something happens that you have nothing to do with. Driving along, minding your own business, singing Jesus Loves Me in the car, okay? Following all the traffic rules, somebody T-bones you or rear-ends you. Well, you didn't have anything to do with that. What to do when you don't know what to do? When you're truly living a life of obedience to the Lord and something happens that makes no sense. You know, the Israelites were in a situation very similar to this in our scripture. Go back to Exodus chapter 14, if you would. Keep your finger there, because we're going to be reading a lot in Exodus chapter 14 tonight. They had done exactly what the Lord had led them to do. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the king's horses and all the king's men, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Philadelphia before Baltimore. That's in the Greek. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 12, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we die in the wilderness. In verse 12 it says, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? In other words, they were telling Moses, this is exactly what we told you was going to take place. You didn't listen to us. This is exactly what's going to take place. We told you this. And it's one of those I told you so moments. Okay? They were in a situation where they had done what they were told. They had done what God commanded them to do. And then this happens. They're leaving. They're like, yay, we're leaving Egypt. Everything's going to be great now. And after a while, they look back and there's somebody trailing them. And it's the Egyptian army. And they look ahead and they're at the Red Sea. What do we do now? We don't know how to swim. We don't have any floaties. Okay? What do we do? And they're like, Moses, we told you this was going to happen. We told you. I knew this was going to happen. The Israelites were in a situation where they had done exactly what they were told, but it appeared there was no hope and no way out. Has that ever happened to you? Like, preacher preached this. I was doing my devotions and it said to do this. And I'm doing all this and I'm being taught. And boom, why does this happen to me? You know, you always think, you look at your neighbor who's not living right, and you see them get this, and you see them be able to do that, or you see them come home, and maybe you can tell that they went to a sporting event, and they have all the memorabilia and all that kind of stuff, and you're thinking, why couldn't I do that? I'm living right, I'm going to church, I'm doing my devotions, I'm going soul winning. And then I have a car wreck, and look what they're doing. They're not going to church, they're not doing any of this. It's one of those times when you think, what do I do? So, what should we do when we don't know what to do? Number one, here we go. 4 points. And number one is the shortest, okay? Number one, evaluate. Evaluate. What to do when you don't know what to do? Number one, evaluate. Evaluate the problem. Evaluate the trial. Ask yourself, is this something that I caused? Is this something that I caused? If it is something that we caused, then we go back and fix it or attempt to repair the damage if it's possible. Now, if it's your fault that you wrecked the car, then you can learn from that. And you can go to God and say, God, I was dumb. I should have gone to sleep earlier so I wouldn't have fell asleep. Would you please forgive my lack of character? And I'm going to try to do right. And I sure could use your help. But that's not the situations I'm talking about tonight. Okay? So you evaluate the problem. Is it something that I have caused, or is it something beyond my control? You know, a lot of us would learn to enjoy life much more if we would realize that if it's beyond our control, that there's nothing that we can do about it.
That's right.
Man, if we could just learn, okay, that's not my area, I'm not saying that's not my job, I'm not talking like that kind of attitude, but that's not something that I can have anything to do with, and I can't control it. I'm sorry that this person did this. I'm sorry that they did that to me, but I've honestly searched my heart, and I had nothing to do with it. It's beyond my control. So when it comes to the situations like that, if it's something beyond your control, then you got to go to step number two. Step number one is evaluate. Step number two is delegate. So we evaluate the problem. We evaluate the trial first. Is it me, or is it beyond my control? Number two, you delegate. If it's beyond your control, the next step you should do is delegate. Delegate the problem or the trial to God. This is a lot what these men were talking about earlier on Sunday. Okay? Delegate the problem or the trial to God. You know, when the Israelites were in the evaluation mode, the Moses told them to stand still and fear not, and basically he told them to delegate the trial to God. Look at Exodus again, chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Go back there in verse number 13 and 14. And the Bible says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." I almost feel like if I was an Israelite that day, you know, I'll be in that. I've got the Egyptian army here, and I got the Red Sea here, and Moses is telling me, you know, trust God, and he's going through all that. It'd almost be like announcements at church. Wah 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 wah. Okay, I heard you say trust God. Wah 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 wah. Stand still. Wah wah wah. Okay. I don't know. That's just Brother Palmore. But anyway. In plain speech, Moses told them to trust God. He told them to trust God, and he said, give it to the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. It's my life verse. Love that verse. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, all of us have to do this. All of us have to delegate the trial that's beyond our control to the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody has to.
Right.
And this is not just something that weak Christians struggle with. You say, well, I must be a weak Christian because I'm having troubles giving this over to the Lord. Well, that's not the case. God showed me something when I was studying here, and I thought it was pretty neat. Look it back in your Bible. Because evidently Moses himself struggled with trusting the Lord in this very instance. Look at Exodus 14:13 again. So Moses is up here. I picture him up on this big rock, you know, talking to all the people in his big, deep voice, you know, and everybody's like, okay. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the people in the back of their mind are saying, yeah, right. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And something happened between 14 and 15. Because then it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? So there was a conversation going on somewhere between 14 and 15 with Moses and God. Because Moses up here in 13 and 14, he's saying, oh, don't worry, everything's going to be fine, trust God, everything's peachy. And then between 14 and 15, something took place, because in 15, God says, quit your whining to me, Moses. Can't you trust me? Take your own advice. Listen to the CD you just preached to the Israelites. Come on. And so something happened between those verses. And so Moses, who we think of as the, you know, the ultimate leader, the man of God, and well, he had trouble trusting the Lord too. Because verse 15, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So don't feel like you're an inferior Christian if you have trouble trusting God when you don't know what to do. Moses had the same problem. You are a human. And I am too. And so you would need to evaluate what to do when you don't know what to do. You need to evaluate, and you need to delegate it to the Lord. And number three, I bet you kind of get an idea here. It's going to end with an eight at the end of it, okay? So evaluate, delegate, perpetuate. Big word for Brother Palmore, perpetuate. Thank God for a thesaurus, okay? Evaluate, delegate, perpetuate. What does perpetuate mean? Perpetuate means to continue. It means to continue. After having some trust issues with God and being assured by their godly authorities that they needed to trust God, the Israelites continued. Look in chapter 14, verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So they did continue. They stepped into the Red Sea. They could have disregarded everything they had been told and everything that they had been taught. They could have, at that very moment, turned their back on it all and said, you know what, this is nuts. What's wrong with this Moses guy? What's wrong with this Almighty God or that he keeps telling us about? This does not make sense. But they continued. They could have gone back to Egypt. I bet they had developed friendships with some of their masters as they were slaves. They had probably developed some friendships with the families there. And they could have gone back, had security there. And sure, they would be a slave still. But at least they knew that they weren't going to die in the ocean or get killed by a soldier. You know, they had some security. They could have turned around. When the Egyptian soldiers came in, they could have done like those people in Iraq. When the Americans showed up and just went like this and walked all back to the Egyptian soldiers and let them take them back. But they didn't do that. They continued. And so they followed God even though it made no sense what was happening. They had no idea what was going to happen when they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They had no idea. Okay, Moses, you said this is going to happen. You said to follow you and trust God. And so now you're going to lead us through this Red Sea with walls of water on each side. I don't know if I trust you, Moses. I'm not so sure about this. I mean, this could fall down, come in any moment. Maybe it's just, you know, like, go back. After all, I began liking their food, you know. I'm kind of tired of this stuff that we keep having, okay, and a lack of it. Humanly speaking, they had no promise that they would make it through the Red Sea. Right. Humanly speaking. Right. No promise. And I'm sure it worried them when they looked back and saw that the Egyptian army also had entered the Red Sea. Of course, they didn't have the dry ground, but they were still coming. And they're thinking, okay, Moses, you said go through this way, but look, now they're coming too. The Israelites continued, but it appeared there was going to be another problem on the other side of the sea because they thought they were coming after them, and they would come through too. Just because you continue does not automatically erase the trial. He said, okay, I evaluated my problem. I evaluated my trial. I had nothing to do with it. I'm going to delegate it to God. God, it's your baby. I'm going to continue. So you continue, but the trial doesn't go away. Well, God didn't make that promise. He didn't make the promise that the trial would go away. The Egyptian soldiers were still after him. But you continue. Evaluate. Delegate. Continue. You know, I looked up the, perpetuate. That's a big word. I looked up the definition of perpetuate in the 1828 dictionary, and it amazed me of the definition. The definition of perpetuate is to continue by repetition, without limitation. To continue by repetition, without limitation. So what do we do when we don't know what to do? We evaluate the trial, we delegate it to the Lord, and we perpetuate, we continue. You continue doing what's right. You continue your church attendance. You continue your soul winning. You continue your personal devotions. You continue training your kids right. You continue your family devotions. You continue all these things that you already knew that was right to do. You continue. evaluate, delegate, perpetuate. Moses continued in the face of uncertainty. You understand that you're not the first person that has ever faced this kind of situation where you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do? You're not the first person that's ever faced it. Moses continued in the face of uncertainty. Sure, God told him that this would take place, but he didn't know until he actually went through it. Noah continued in spite of the world's ridicule and lack of converts. For years, he continued. Gideon continued in spite of his army being dwindled down by God. David continued in spite of the giant in his life. Daniel continued praying, although it was now punishable unto death. And Jesus himself asked God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet he continued to the cross. Amen. So continue, perpetuate, to continue by repetition. Continue by repetition. Don't let the trial break your habits of commitment to the Lord and to his service. Amen. Daniel didn't. You know, they told Daniel, only pray to the golden image. Nebuchadnezzar, only pray. Well, he had a habit of doing right. And because he didn't, because this thing came up, it didn't stop him from continuing. He continued. He still continued to pray. He still continued to pray to Jesus Christ, to his Heavenly Father. Continue by repetition. You know, a lot of times I'm guilty of this. I'll be the first to tell you. When a hard time comes on, or maybe you're having a tough day or whatever, and a trial like that comes on, you're like, you know what, I deserve a break. I'm going to take myself to El Phoenix. Maybe it's not that big of a break, but I'm going to get myself a candy bar. But in our spiritual life, sometimes when things come up in our life, you're like, you know what, I deserve a break. I'm just not going to go soul winning today. After all, God knows what I'm going through. And so he knows that I'm having financial trouble right now. So I need a break. I'm not going to tithe this week. You're messing with the wrong person. Okay. The Bible says that we should continue. All these other guys did too. So continue by repetition without limitation. Don't slack off. Don't slack off of your soul winning. Don't slack off of your Bible reading. Stay full throttle for the Lord. I understand that if you have a health problem that hits you, that you might not be able to go soul winning on Saturday morning, but you can still pass out tracts to the people in the hospital. You can still talk to the doctors. You still talk to the nurses. Okay? Don't back off. Evaluate, delegate, perpetuate. There's a quote that I came across today. And it's by George Mueller. George Mueller was an orphan. He operated an orphanage. And he said, to learn strong faith is to endure great trials. To learn strong faith is to endure great trials. Why is it that the people who have been through so much, we think, oh, they're such a man of faith, or they're such a lady of faith? It's because they've been through a lot. It's not just because they're poof that way. They've been through a lot, all right? And so to learn strong faith is to endure great trials. Evaluate the trial. Delegate it to the Lord. Perpetuate. Continue by repetition without limitations. And last, number four, anticipate. Evaluate. Delegate. Perpetuate. Anticipate. Anticipate finding out what God is going to do through all this. It may be years before you know. You say, when is God going to show me what I'm going through? What's the deal? I mean, this has been 2 days now. Okay? Well, it may be years before you know. But you can never anticipate what God's doing with it until you first evaluate, delegate, and perpetuate. Moses told the children of Israel to anticipate. Look at Exodus 14 again, verse 13. We looked at this verse a moment ago. Exodus 14, 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, the Israelites had an advantage that we don't have a lot, because the Israelites knew in advance what was going to happen. Whether they believed it or not, it was up to them. But they knew, they were told in advance what was going to happen. We don't always have that advantage. You know, when your car, something happens to your car, why did this happen? Well, God didn't have a preacher get up on a Sunday morning and say, trust the Lord because your car, this happened to it, and this is what's going to take place. Boy, it'd make it a lot easier that way, we'd think. And that's what Moses did. God allowed Moses to do that, but the people still didn't believe him. The Israelites had an advantage. We don't always have that advantage, but we do know that we serve a loving God. And we do know that we serve a God who allows things to happen for a purpose. Romans 8:28, you know the verse well. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, in our life, we can continue to focus on the trial. Or we can continue and focus on what is it the Lord's trying to work out here. Always be looking. I wonder if this is why God's doing this. You know, you get put in the hospital, and then you have an opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord. Well, the reason you're in the hospital may be the only reason that you're in the hospital is to lead that person to the Lord. That may be the only reason. Boy, I just totaled my car, but I led the policeman to the Lord. Well, that might be the only reason God allowed you to total your car. You never know. You can choose to focus on the trial, or you can continue focus on trying to see how God is using this for good in your life or the life of others. We should choose to anticipate God's reasoning by being Romans 8:28 Christians. And this is something bonus. This was something that I put in here as a bonus just in case I had time. Okay? And it's another one of those eights. Okay? So this is bonus. But evaluate, and you get extra points if you remember these things. Evaluate, delegate, perpetuate, anticipate, and jubilate. Yeah, jubilate. In Exodus chapter 15, after they had gotten through all this and all the Egyptians were killed and all that kind of stuff, they were so excited. And for 19 verses, they sang a song. All right, let's all stand. Take your songbook. Turn to page number 219. We're going to sing all 19 verses. I don't know how long their song was, but in the Bible it was 19 verses. And it wasn't a song that they had ever sung before. It was a song that they just made up right then. And everybody sang it. Said, wow. We worked 3 weeks to learn, help you learn one song. And they were like, boom, 19 verses, okay, in the words. But in that, if you'll read Exodus chapter 15, and we'll just take a time to do that, okay? Look at Exodus chapter 15. Look at verse 14. The people shall hear and be afraid. 15. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take a hold upon them. And the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. And they're talking about how great their God was. 19. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with the chariots and the horsemen of the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Verse 20, and Miriam, this is funny, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for ye have triumphed gloriously. So they had a song service, and then the ladies' meeting, they had a song service after that too. All the ladies, they gathered together. But in here, they're just talking about, hey, how, wow, this is what God did. You know what, I think sometimes that when God does something for our life, he wants us to tell others. He doesn't want us to say, God did this for me because I'm such a great person. That's not what I'm talking about. Well, I was having such a hard time and this and that. He's not trying to want you to tell others so that you can gain pity for your own life. But if you can take that thing that happened to you, that trial that happened to you, that you continued through, that you perpetuated through, And you did all this through, and then you can take it and say, hey, this is what God did. That gives God the glory. It's not a wrong thing for you to tell, man, I was so excited about what God did in our church on Sunday. A couple weeks ago, had a blind man saved and baptized. Wow, that's great. That is great. Tell people, if God's done something for you, tell them. How else are they going to know how good your God is? They don't know. They see you go to church. They see you come home. See you go to work. See you go to church. See you go home. They see you at work. Tell the people at work how good God is. Hey, this is what God did for me. They're going to think, oh, this is a weirdo. But that's okay. The Bible says you're a peculiar people. Amen. And there might be somebody out there that really wants what you have, but they don't know what you have. So, here we go. Evaluate. Got it? Say it.
Evaluate.
Next is delegate. Next is perpetuate. Next is anticipate. And last, bonus material, jubilate. Jubilate. All right? I think if we would take these things that God's given us tonight and apply them to our lives, of course, Brother Butler preached on bearing your burdens. Great message. Brother Crutcher taught on sufficient grace, what to do with things you don't want. Tonight, what to do when you don't know what to do. I think all those messages go together. And I think the Holy Spirit had something to do with that. I don't know why God has led us three men to preach kind of the same theme, I guess you could say, this week. Don't know that answer. But He knows. And so what to do when you don't know what to do? Let's go ahead and stand.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.